In June of 2016, Summer Porter received a phone call that her four-month-old baby girl was in the hospital.
In that moment, she felt powerless. Today on Real Family Talk, we'll find out how her heartbreaking loss gave birth to a ministry that's covering others with comfort.
Summer, welcome. Tell us about that day that you were called to the hospital.
Sure. It was a Friday, and I had gotten a phone call and didn't answer it because I didn't recognize the number. So the person calling moved on to others on the list, reached my dad. My dad called me and said that he had been told that there was a medical emergency and that Breland was in the hospital. And we didn't have anything more than that.
That's tough. That must have been pretty scary.
You just don't even, you don't know. You don't know what it's going to be. So you get there.
Yeah. So what was it that happened to Breland?
So I got to the hospital first. I was close and gave them her health card, and they had me sit down. Then they ushered me to a room, and there was a chaplain, a doctor, and another staff member. And the doctor introduced herself and just said, you know, we've been working on Breland. It looks as though she went to sleep and just didn't wake up.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because up until then, your mind never goes to death. Right. Why would you? She's 4 months old, healthy baby up until that moment.
Right.
So completely shocked, completely shocked.
And she was at the daycare. She was with your
daycare provider. She was with the daycare provider. And so that was another entire thing. The daycare was actually understaffed. And so the daycare has since been shut down. Probably not connected, but it certainly didn't help.
Right.
So that was the whole thing also. But the hospital staff was amazing. My husband got there, my dad got there, we were able to see her. It moves really fast, and it's just a quick moment, and it's just...
Such a blur, I'm sure.
It does. It absolutely blurs together.
Who actually told you what happened and explained?
Well, you still don't know.
Yes.
We couldn't pick her up because when something happens and they don't know what the cause is... that you can't pick up your child, which I appreciated because we didn't know what had happened.
Whatever you do is going to further injure.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So you just don't know, what evidence is going to be lost. And so that's why. We spent a lot of time with the detectives before we ever got to see her.
It's like something out of a movie.
Well, because they're needing to ask really important questions to figure out, you know, what's going on, what might have caused this. There's visits to your home later to make sure that, you know, your other children are, is this a case of abuse? Is this, what is this? They don't know. I appreciate they took it really seriously. It was appropriate, but, the outcome was still worst.
It is. That's just a tough outcome. But I appreciate what you're saying, how understanding you were of the process. Because I think, like, just hearing the story, I'm thinking I would be out of control.
I'm so reasonable that I was like, everybody has a job to do. They're here to get this done, to do it right, to make sure that, the box is checked.
Sounds like you didn't want to get in the way.
Yeah, but it was so meaningful because after we were able to see her, when you have a child, you don't ever leave your child, and yet you can't move into the hospital and just stay there forever. And she was dead. But the medical examiner was like, I'm not leaving her. Like, I've got her. I will trans. Like,
oh, she's that's wonderful.
And only then we were like, okay, because a baby, you don't leave a baby
right
ever. ever, you know.
Right. So tell us a little bit about Breeland. I know she was only 4 months old, but it sounds like she had a lot of personality. Like,
yeah, we have Brooklyn is 3 and a half, and Breeland was, at the time, Brooklyn was 2 and a half, and Breeland was 4 months old.
I love the names of your children, by the way.
So easy. Just easy, fat, happy.
Did you say fat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's, yeah, fat, happy. And, you know, any of the, there's some things that could make you more susceptible to SIDS, and she was none of those things, which I think is important.
So it was SIDS.
Yeah, it was SIDS. So they learned it was SIDS, that's sudden infant death syndrome. Which essentially just means when the baby goes to sleep, there's something in their brain that doesn't trigger another breath.
Mm. Okay. So almost baby like sleep apnea.
Exactly,
for
a baby. Yeah. So a baby doesn't suffer, which is its own blessing for us. We were like, well, that's better.
Indeed.
But yeah.
And from what we know, there's still really no explanation for why this happens.
Which is tragic because it's been going on for such a long time.
Right. And I've known many families who've had children die from SIDS.
And there's nothing
over the past 30 years.
A precursor to let you know that it's coming. It's just you have a perfectly healthy baby one day and your baby has passed away the next.
So how do you grieve?
We were very generous with ourselves, so crying, especially when you have a toddler, like you want to, we didn't want to forget her, we didn't want to sweep it away. She was only 4 months old, so I mean,
but
we were getting
human being,
right? So we were getting pictures printed because, I mean, 4 months old, we only had one picture that had been printed because you're busy, you know, nursing and all of these baby right. things.
And she was
in
a
life.
Second child,
right? Yes, yes. So she was a second child.
The first child, you always have a lot of pictures,
yes.
And then.
Yeah. So we were scrambling to get that kind of stuff up, yeah. And just wanted to make sure that she realized that, you know, we had Breeland, we remembered Breeland, we loved Breeland. It was an interesting opportunity because she was only 2 and a half. You know, we sang "Jesus Loves Me," but I mean, heaven. For a 2 and a half year old.
Yeah.
So this was, you know, we all long for heaven in a way that we never did before. I thought heaven was going to be great, but life here was pretty great too.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's, you know, she's ready.
Really looking
she
forward
will really,
to it.
She'd be like, you know, God should come back today or like.
So you used it as a teachable moment for
absolutely.
Your other child, for your toddler. But there was something special that happened when you got to the hospital. What
absolutely.
Did you see when you got to the hospital?
So we saw her and she was on a hospital bed. So big hospital bed, you know, little tiny baby. Mm-hmm. But she'd been covered in like 2 handmade blankets.
Wow.
So somebody had spent so much time and effort to make these blankets. And I was fixated on these blankets. As a parent, when you get the call to go, you just go. You don't stop by your house and say, let me get my kid's love item of, you know, a teddy bear or a blanket or whatever.
You just go.
Get there. And so having those blankets felt like when I wasn't there to maybe take care of my child in that way, somebody else was the time, the effort, energy, and that you know that the hospital is giving top care all the time, but somehow like that blanket was that much more because it was like it's such a little thing instead of a grown-up thing. It wasn't
it symbolized caring.
She wasn't just a chart, she was a baby. And they got that.
That's so interesting that you picked up on that.
I was completely fixated on that blanket.
Yeah, that's beautiful. When we come back, we'll talk more with Summer Porter. Stay with us. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there were 1,600 deaths due to sudden infant death syndrome in the United States in 2015. Summer Porter and her husband, David Burke, lost their four-month-old baby to SIDS in 2016. Well, before the break, we were talking about the blankets. Mm-hmm. And those blankets that intrigued you so much actually led you to begin a certain ministry. So tell us a little bit more, Summer.
So I was fixated by these blankets. Didn't have any experience with yarn, but I figured, you know, I have 2 master's degrees. I'm sure that I can figure out how to do this. So I got 2 friends to teach me. And then I went to visit my sister, and my 7-year-old niece was making a square just like I was. And I went,
a crochet square.
Yeah, and I went, if my 7-year-old niece can do this, maybe like my friends and greater circle will do this also. So I started a Facebook group, and it was just Breland's Blanket Brigade. And I invited maybe 40 people. And I checked today,
and you invited them
over 500 now members.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
In
so,
just little less than a year.
Yeah, yeah. So these are, you know, I started making squares because I thought a blanket was kind of daunting, especially to a beginner. I just randomly, I chose 5 because it was easy math to then build a blanket. Yeah.
You so chose 5 what?
5 inches. Oh. 5 inches of squares because I figured mathematically it was easy to then figure out what you needed.
So how did you get people involved? Like, what did you say to them?
Just, I made a video and I just said, you know, it was just, you know, hi, if you don't know me, I'm Summer. This is what happened, and I'm not going to talk about how sad this was, because it was sad, but I'm going to talk about something that made the moment just a little bit better.
That's so
and
positive.
We can't, you know, this is going to keep happening. Stuff like this is going to keep happening, but if we can help somebody just a little bit, you know, we have to try. So
out of your own pain.
Yeah, because it was meaningful for us. Yes. And I needed to do something.
You know, I'd love to know what kind of people you recruited?
So this is everybody. Like it's really been everybody. It's been coworkers. I had a coworker from Canada send me a box of 10 blankets that she and her mom did.
So people are not just creating squares.
It's blankets, it's quilts, it's knitting. I had somebody, fleece, you know, it's just handmade. It's the gesture of the handmade.
Right.
But they've come from everywhere. I mean, I have other countries. I have people.
Tell us some of the countries.
At this stage, people I don't know. So I have Great Britain. My cousin moved to Armenia, so I'm going to count Armenia. But it's people share it. So now I asked, like, how did you hear about us? And somebody had posted it to their group. And, you know, so somebody that I don't know sent a blanket.
So it's just snowballing. So the ministry is growing.
I mean, and you're doing what with the blankets?
So what we do with the blankets, we started locally. So it's local hospitals, and they use them in their emergency room for children, small children and infants who die, as well as I've now been exposed to a lot of families who have late-term losses. So we've given additional blankets for those. So it'd be like a stillbirth. Yeah.
So it's all for families that have lost children.
And it's lost, and it's usually emergency related, because, these families that I was talking with, you know, they went in for a final visit and got emergency, you know,
their
fast
baby.
And they didn't have time for their, you know, the blanket that they had made for their child or the outfit or the whatever.
And so your ministry is providing these blankets were also provided
it
for Breland.
So like, I was saying it's, you know, often adults, but, then it became kids. So I had a couple different friends who were teachers, and their students, you know, need community service hours. So they taught their kids to crochet.
So I think that's so wonderful.
A local school started working on squares, and my mom turned it into a blanket. But what's amazing about this, I think, well, one, it doesn't have to be perfect. So that was great, because they're not all squares.
Well, I can see that they're different.
Yeah, they're not. But that's
some are
great.
Kind of
I love the colors.
Some are kind of squared.
Yeah, yeah.
some rectangle.
But what's amazing is that these are, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids, and they know where these blankets are going.
Right.
And they get it, and they're doing it because they want to help.
So
and
they have amazing. A bigger awareness
they're
of just themselves.
They're not going to be in this situation, you know, for 15 years or so. And so that's just so touching. It also helps because for me, Breland died on a Friday, and all the kids who are working on squares work on Fridays to do it.
It's therapeutic.
It's for me, when we wake up on a Friday and it's already hard, I'm like, but all these kids are doing this on Friday. So it's amazing. We've, I think, 175 blankets we received now. And it's been, less than a year that we've been doing this.
One hospital, two hospitals?
We've actively placed in three hospitals and then conversations with three or four others.
Okay. So they have them on hand for emergencies?
They do. And the hospitals that are in this area had this type of loss, an average of one a month. So I rounded to 15. So each hospital gets 15. So the 15 in the ER and then 15 for these late-term pregnancy losses.
Right.
Do you find any connection between yourself and the people who are receiving the blankets?
So I document all the blanks when we get them. So if anybody ever wants to look back, there's a tag. This one hasn't been tagged yet, but they all say Made with Love by Breland's Blanket Brigade. Having been through this, this is going to be low on their list. They're going to be like, I need to remember to get groceries. I need to pay my bills. I need to take care of my family. Researching a blanket is going to be so far down their list.
Yeah.
But we're going to be here. Like, somebody asked me if this was, short-term project, what was the deadline? And I'm like,
we're here.
This is always, we're going to do this for always. I mean, the reality is that older people generally who are making these kind of blankets, and we're just, starting early.
So I think it's such a loving and compassionate ministry. And, it's interesting that you talk about the blanket, because I remember years ago going to the funeral of a five-year-old that had passed. And the one thing that I also remembered was the fact that the mom walked in with the baby's blanket. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is right on point that, I imagine, especially as a mom, and I'm sure dads too, but especially as a mom, mm-hmm. your thought that your child is going to be comforted by this blanket.
Cared for.
And cared for. So it's a beautiful ministry. Tell us a little bit about how your faith has been enhanced or deepened, or how your faith has gotten you through this entire process.
So this is a difficult question because, we prayed like we did every day. We prayed for protection just like we did every day, and the day didn't end like every other day before had. Initially, I was scrambling for research. So I was, on Google getting grief books for my toddler, and then discovering that statistically marriages often don't survive. So we were in therapy 3 days later, and my therapist was saying, every night, say three things that you're thankful for, mm-hmm. which at least got us back into the, we still are blessed. It was June. And so initially it was an air conditioner, a washing machine, a refrigerator,
things to be thankful for.
Things, right.
It was despite the fact,
something.
Despite the fact that you've had a tremendous loss, mm-hmm. there is something to be grateful for.
Right. So even just the little things. So it was like starting at the little things. And then when I still didn't know how to pray about it, then I had that statistic. And I would be like, I'd wake up and I would pray for the person who was going to live that worst day. And so I could pray for somebody else. Because I didn't know, Breland was already, she had already died. We didn't have time to pray our way through something. It was done by the time we learned about it.
That's interesting that you're saying that you didn't even have time to pray, and we appreciate your honesty. Thanks so much for sharing with us. We want to hear more about your faith and how it helped you through this process.
In just a moment, we're going to share with you some ways that you can cope with grief after the loss of a child or family member. Stay with us.
So we're talking about coping with grief after the loss of a child or family member, and we have Summer Porter here with us. Summer, before the break, you were telling us about your faith and what were some of the things that you did to cope with this loss, losing your baby, Breland. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so I was saying we just concentrated on others. Another thing that my therapist had recommended, this actually came about from a sermon, saying that you don't have to ask God to take something. Just give it to God. He's big enough to take it.
Cast all your cares on him. Yes.
So I was telling my therapist this, and she said, this sounds like a God box. And I went, what? Hmm. So we literally have a box that's wrapped up in our house. And when I can't get something out of my head, like if it's related to Breland, if it's anything, I will go downstairs on our piano, write it down, put it in the box, go back upstairs, and I can sleep. Because I'm like, God, you have this.
I love that idea.
I mean, it doesn't have to be physical like that, but for me, I'm, you know.
Well, the physical makes it tangible, that you're actually putting something in there. You're just giving it.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, therapy is, I would absolutely recommend it. We're individually in therapy. Brooklyn starts therapy this next week.
That's your youngest daughter.
Yeah, she's 3 and a half. Yeah. We had been told if your loss happens aged under the age of 4, you didn't need therapy. But now we're discovering ages 2 and 3 can benefit.
Yeah, yeah.
Therapy is certainly not going to hurt.
And, that's correct.
You know, like we...
It's just helping you to explore your feelings and to come to grips.
It's hard
with
being
them.
A toddler anyway. Yes. So it's already hard being a toddler, and then your parents are hurting. Your grandparents are hurting. Everybody in her world is hurting.
Yes, I was going to say, and it also helps the parents to see what she's going through in her little mind.
Absolutely.
So that's helpful. And there's something else that you mentioned earlier that we wanted to just point out, and you mentioned that your therapist mentioned that couples who experience such a loss often end up separated or divorced. And so it really is critical for anyone who's watching this, who's going through a loss like this, that you really focus on your relationship. And I really appreciate your mentioning that, and the fact that you and your husband have paid very close attention to that, to keeping your relationship together and grieving together.
Absolutely.
Because there's also the tendency to blame one another, even though neither one of you had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Or anyone.
Or anyone, for that matter.
Yeah, it's...
So this is a time when we say, if you're having a loss in your family, and it's really getting to you, get some help. Get some professional help. Don't take it out on each other, and don't allow it to destroy your relationship, because it often does.
Yeah. And then tell us a little bit about some of your other coping mechanisms. Was there a text or a verse or a song or something that...
So this was random. Like my dad's cousin sent me a CD, and it was by Selah, and I listened to it, and I mean, the songs were like, okay, until you get to like track number 13, okay. Either 11 or 13, and it was Press On. And so the song is that, you know, when you're in the depths, you're in the valley, the everything's awful, in Jesus' name, you press on.
Yes.
Amen.
And I went, oh, like, I could choose to give up, but I'm not going to. You know, like, my goal is forever home with my entire family, so that's what I've got to concentrate on. And it means, you know... Every day you're
making
that decision. Yeah.
It's a hope. And it's the hope of the Christian, and it's the hope in Christ.
Absolutely.
It's a hope that reminds you that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that if you are broken, that Christ has promised that he'll be with us
always. And it's not even just me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, having this blanket brigade, we have people who write in saying that they've had a similar loss, or their mother had this kind of loss, or we have an inmate in a prison in Ohio who... His son died of a childhood disease, made the most beautiful blanket in honor of his son, sent it to his mom, who sent it to me. That's amazing.
What a testimony.
I mean, first of all, she contacted me like, would you be comfortable? And I'm like, you know, absolutely. It's a parent. It's a blanket. Yes. But that's amazing, because like this story is reaching everybody. It isn't just one anything. It's children, it's grandparents, it's, you know, a prisoner in Ohio. I mean,
I think what's so amazing about your story, just segueing off of what Willie said about the hope, is that when I listen to you, I feel hopeful. You know, there's a tendency, of course, there's always going to be sadness. Mm-hmm. The fact that you grieve a loss doesn't mean that you don't remember it. Right. You'll always remember Breland, as you said. Mm-hmm. But the fact that so many people can find hope in your story and this ministry, yeah. and almost as if Breland continues on in your mind. But when you think about her, is it in a positive way because so many people are being helped by
it
this?
It does, Nan. I mean, I, like, you know, last month, I think I walked back or passed a picture of her and I smiled. And that was the first time that I went like, oh, and I knew that would be coming because people say you're always going to be hurtful, but the pain will dull. Mm-hmm. And it does, you know, you kind of have to. That's the way your body is. And I mean, you know, you wish this didn't happen to anybody. And it's constant, you know, it's always going to be there and you're not going to forget it, but this is something that I can do that could help somebody else for a moment. And not everybody has the great support network that I have. And so if they could even just, the blanket helps them plug into that, because I've been very candid online, with my grief. So I'm hoping that other people.
I am listening to what you're saying, and I think it's important that we, speak to our audience and remind them that not everyone and not every faith has this kind of hope. Mm-hmm. But the Christian faith has the hope in Jesus, the hope that he's coming back, the hope that he's going to resurrect those who've died, the hope that he's with us forever through our pain. There's going to be pain, but we're not alone because Christ is with us. And that's the hope of the Christian faith.
Yep. Well, Summer, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Learn more about Breland's Blanket Brigade by visiting the resources page of our website as listed on your screen.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. Meanwhile, to watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website at hopetv.org/realfamilytalk.